Hi, this is Lunchy. If you've heard some of my free talks from previous Podfix that I've done, you'll know that I generally do it by myself, just like spewing my thoughts about the particular project. For the end of Husbands, however, I decided that I was going to edit the final scene of Chapter 5 live in the Podfix Discord chat and follow that up by doing a live recording of my free talk for the project. So you're about to hear a one-sided conversation where you'll get to hear what I was saying into the microphone, but not what people were saying back to me for certain things that were not able to be captured just from my side of the conversation. I'll come in and summarize what went on, but this is going to be a far more conversational style of free talk than my normal fare. So yeah, I hope you enjoy. This is the chain of events as I recall it. So I remember going into like Wei Wuxian and Lan Wangji. Oh, okay, there's not too much here. Well, this author wrote some other things. Possibly it's in the same vein. I wonder what's happening over there. So I jump into, oh, and of course there would have been, at the time, there would have been a lot of crossover as well. Like there was heaps of like MXTX crossover. So any of the Lan Wangji and Wei Wuxian stuff also would have had like a Luo Binghe and Shen Qinqiu tag in it as well. So I got like, I saw enough of that and I'm like, okay, I'll have a look at that. And I get in there and then I'm like, oh my God, this person, Fey Knight, they've written like 100,000 words of incredibly detailed world building and beautiful storytelling. And I think the first thing that I read of theirs was like, I don't think they ever finished it, but like, what if Shen Yuan, like as Shen Qinqiu got kidnapped and was brought into Binghe's universe, like, so he was successful in kidnapping Shen Yuan from Bingmei, and it got to a really dark part where like Binghe had broken like Shen Qinqiu's legs. I don't know, is this a fever dream? But I remember like them posting that, so it was very canonical. They were like, and now for something completely different, and they started to upload Husbands, which was AU, and I was like, oh great, because like I got some things from reading, because I'm a person who doesn't necessarily need to look at the source material before I jump straight into the fandom, and because Fey Knight's writing was the way that it is, I was able to glean through osmosis like, okay, so this plot point must have happened and that plot point must have happened, like these are the things that possibly what the characters must have been like. So yeah, then Husbands happened, and I don't know if I was like from the start, perhaps like maybe when they'd already started to post like either chapter 2 or 3 and just going like, wow, followed it. It ended and I took my sweet ass time. I think we talked about it in the chapter 3 free talk, like when I actually asked permission for it. And it was quite a while before I actually started to post the project onto AO3 itself for public consumption. Because before that, my project before this was a BTS podfic, and that was also like 6 to 8 hours or something like that. I can't remember if it was like 60 or 80,000 words. So in the midst of doing that, and I got like really stuck at one point, and I thought, I'm really stuck here. I may as well like try to unstuck myself by like reading something that may flow more a bit for me. And that ended up being Fey Knight's Husband's podfic, which meant that then I was like, oh God, I'd recorded perhaps like 2 chapters already before I finished the BTS podfic. And I thought, okay, well, I can't post this until I finish posting the BTS podfic. So it was like it was impetus as well to finish the BTS podfic so I could finally show like Husbands to the world. Because I was also coming off the back of like having to abandon one of the Yuri and Ice works that I had been posting as a work in progress. So I just like, no, you need to finish posting this because there is every possibility that you won't finish. So just made sure that I didn't do that and then started to post Husbands. But before it got onto AO3, I had started to share it with UA and with Lavender Frost, and they'd given me really positive feedback about it. So they made me feel really good about it. And I'm like, oh, great. Because I'm like, this is really like this story is really to my taste. I know it's to a lot of other people's tastes as well, because it's a very highly kudoed work in this niche fandom. And although like Lavender Frost and UA had like some guardianness in them at this point, not so much the historical Chinese drama type stuff yet. So they gave me really positive feedback.
Editing Lunchy here. At this point in the conversation, Lavender Frost corrects me and says that, in fact, by this point, the Untamed
had come out and she had watched the MDZS animation with me. I had remembered incorrectly because I must have abstained from the Untamed for a really long time because I remember feeling like so like, no, I'm not doing this. Lanjun looks totally wrong. Because once it actually got on Netflix and like the subtitling, like I dipped my toe in and I'm like, oh good, the subtitling is right. Like it's fine. That's when I'm like, oh good. Because for me, like the, you know, the text makes up like 80% of my enjoyment. Yes, I like the Untamed sets are unbelievably beautiful, but that can't feed me. So I actually need it to read really well, or to at least like I need it to read to a certain standard where I feel like it's legible in order to keep going. Okay, so that was the sequence of events. Like I hadn't finished posting the BTS podfic or finished working on the BTS podfic, but I'd started already working on the husband's podfic. And the husband's podfic, I remember when I was reading Faye Knight's work and just thinking like, this person writes like someone that I've never read before, like has this incredible style. So perhaps this is like, you know, something that's common in like, because I don't know what nationality Faye Knight is. Like, I don't know if they've got like Chinese roots or whatever it is, but I just remember thinking like they have a really like exposition type style. And generally when you do exposition dump, it doesn't work very well for me because it's just like blah, blah information. But her style of doing it was like, oh, there's like information dump, but you also get some character growth, like reflections of what the character thinks of this. And ultimately, like they just write fantastic, unreliable narrator, which is my ultimate weakness. At the end of this, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, this has to happen. So that's really what got me into it. Of course, like, oh, and of course, like I spent a long time resisting wanting to podfic it because of the Chinese names. Since when I started reading it, there were no, like, yeah, there was the MDZS animation, but that's 20 minutes of like very focused dialogue and not necessarily calling people's names and stuff like that. But then after like the Untamed started going and I actually started like watching and listening to it, and I could actually hear more of the pronunciation and stuff like that. So there's a huge difference in pronunciation from probably like chapter 1 to chapter 2 to chapter 3, simply because I was like getting way more used to hearing the sound and being able to replicate the sound, I think. At least that's like sort of my memory. Yeah, that's my memory of it. Because there were pronunciation guides readily available. So people were saying the names in isolation and also then I could hear it like in its natural form, as natural as like hearing it in a drama is going to get. That was really important. Like, yeah, being able to access so many different references for how to say the names. And I finally, but like the big thing for me was like, I didn't want to offend anybody by like mispronouncing the names up the wazoo. So I needed to be somewhat confident in that. And that confidence sort of came with like, okay, listening to the Untamed in its Mandarin form and being able to like, you know, source some of the audio dramas for MDZS. And unfortunately for like Scum Villain, like TikTok, where is it? Where's the, you know, there was a manhwa that got discontinued because of something. They were going to make an animation that hasn't surfaced. So what ended happening was I put out a call on Twitter for somebody to help me with the pronunciation of names, and Astria replied back. They recorded me the names that I needed, thank God. And so I was able to just like, yeah, listen to them, repeat what I think they heard. I heard, listen to them, repeat it again, until I was like somewhat like, okay, I think this is what I'm hearing and stuff. So definitely didn't consult like any sort of like, oh, there are 4 or 5 tones in Mandarin, so these are what the tones sound like. No, I didn't do any of that. I just was like, I'm just going to listen to you and just repeat exactly what I think I hear you say. And so that's how I did it. This experience has also been quite unlike a lot of other work in progress experiences because of the reception of this podfic as it was getting posted. I was getting, for whatever reason, like it's in the middle of a boom right now, maybe, like, but people were like, yeah, we have a dearth of content. We need you. Please make some more stuff. And there were some really wonderful comments that I got that were really, like, you know, motivating for me to, like, keep going. And also this is helped by the fact, like, I think by the time that I'd actually started posting chapter one, I already probably had up to chapter four recorded. So really all that was left for me to do was do chapter four and five at the very least, I say, as though that's not 60% of the story. Also, if you're listening to this in the future, like, the other thing that happened in during the recording of this story is COVID-19. Yeah, COVID-19 is currently happening. It's cleared up a lot of time for me to, like, dedicate to a hobby, for sure, and also experiment with different ways of, like, yeah, getting to record podfic, because generally I think of it as a very solitary exercise where I can, like, you know, do whatever I want and sort of abide by no one, like, the author can't touch me, that sort of thing. And, like, podfic Discord sort of shaped my feeling on that a little bit more. It's very nice to, like, sort of see in chat people responding real time with gifts and comments to, like, things that are happening in the story. I feel very proud of that. Like, I don't know if I should, because it's not my words, but it is my performance. So I have a mixed feeling towards that. And I'm very grateful for people who've been rocking up, like Vodka112, Cammy Lurks on Twitter, obviously, Enabler Cheerleader number one, IV0611, aka Levendefrost, aka Chicken, Dancing Butterfly, Blue Geeky M, thanks to the previous two guys for, like, popping in despite not knowing anything about Scum Villain, didn't even know what I was recording and just was, like, along for the ride for a while. Thank you guys. Also want to thank wonderful repeat commenters in AO3. Once again, Vodka112, killing it in the commenting game. Thank you. Definitely gave me... Thank you. Like, the thing is, like, Podfic doesn't get a lot of recognition / feedback. And, like, at this point, it's like, well, that's just the way it is. So that's what really surprised me about starting to post this series, is that, wow, you guys really, like, you know, you really brought it, like, oh, this is a really different experience from what generally happens. So Vodka, Lenuit Noor, who told me that one of my chapters, there was a couple of clipping sounds in that, and I was able to fix that. So thank you so much for that. Pens87, who I think, like, possibly has commented, like, on every chapter that came out, Lime Dumpler, Onion Boy, Como Pine Cone Seeds, who's been, oh my gosh, they have been so helpful with pronunciation. Thank you so much for taking the time to write these, like, detailed comments about, like, how I could improve the pronunciation and what you were doing and, like, how emotional you were getting. I think at one point they said that, like, they were listening to the fight scene between Shen Qinqiu and Yue Jingyuan, where they're like, why didn't you want to have a baby? This is why you didn't ever want to have a baby. And they had to, like, stop washing their dishes because they were, like, getting a bit too intense. So that was really, like, that was really sweet. So thank you so much. I'm going to remember that was so, you know, motivating to keep going. And for a variety of factors, now, like, on the 11th of April in Australia, like, it's done. So here are some things that I particularly enjoyed about the podfic and about the story, and really wanted to get it across. And so of course, number one is, like, Shen Qinqiu's unreliable narration, right? So he's so dense. He's just so, and it's like this sort of canon parallel where he believes, like, he knows where this story is going and he believes in narrative destiny. So he's like, he is misconstruing all of what Luo Binghe is, like, all the signals that he's throwing out, and just going like, oh, something else is happening. And, oh, I have to look after this side character. Oh, he doesn't. Oh, wow. He really likes Liu Qingge, you know, Wei Wuxian style. Oh, wow. Lan Wenji, I guess you really like Mian Mian. Like, yeah, that's what's happening. Yeah. During the bride-stealing scene, where Shen Qinqiu was, like, utterly convinced that Luo Binghe is coming to steal Liu Qingge, Even when he's confronted with the fact that loving her is going to steal him, he's like, wow, he wants to take his old teacher away. What a great student. So filial. I remember having a very visceral reaction of like, can you please get a clue? Please get a clue by four. There's an officious and grand procession in an event called bride stealing. There is a garden with plants and flowers and fish from the mortal realm. Wow, how cool. No underlying reason why someone would bother doing all of that. Living quarters that imitate the Euro estate. Tons of pillows that I like to lounge in. Wow, he must have missed like what soft pillows were like when he was in hell. Gosh. Anyway, Shin Chin Chiu, you dumb bitch. I love you, but you dumb bitch.
Editing Lunchy here again. At this point in the conversation, people in the chat remind me of sassy gay best friend, which is where you dumb bitch comes from. A series of literary heroines who do dumb stuff because nobody is there to intervene. And who better than a sassy gay best friend? If you've not had the pleasure of experiencing sassy gay best friend, please Google it and improve your life.
Sassy gay friend! Yes, sassy gay friend. Shen Qingqiu, you needed one. Shang Qinghua was also a dumb gay bitch, so he also needs his own sassy gay best friend. Liu Qingge was not a dumb bitch. He was willfully ignorant. He was choosing not to open that door, which I really appreciated. That was like my next point was like, I really enjoyed doing Liu Qingge's POV a lot. You see him fall in love with Shen Qingqiu and be a dumb bitch. He doesn't come right out and ask him why he doesn't want to sleep with Liu Qingge, but because his rationale is it's better not to ask. But like, how about you stop torturing yourself, you dumb bitch? But you have all this sort of political reasoning about why he doesn't do it. Perhaps his status also prevents him from doing such things. And there's this beautiful moment in chapter 5 where him and Luo Binghe are having that discussion without, like, with Shen Qingqiu in the room, being a dumb bitch, not realizing he's the sun they both revolve around, looking at each other and going, like, he's not marrying you because you're already married. Guess what? You don't have status. And just having like a dick waving contest at each other and Liu Qingge going like, yeah, but guess what? You said you could take care of him. I don't see you doing that. And just declaring to Shen Qingqiu before he like yeets out the window, listen, if there's ever a time I'm getting in on this, like I'm going to take the opportunity to do it. And Shen Qingqiu was like, wow, what a great friend. You dumb bitch!
At this point in the chat, people reflect on this behavior of Shen Qingqiu's and say that this really captures the queer experience. AKA, is this person flirting with me or are they just being friendly? I don't think to mention it at the time, but I really appreciate this insight because it's not something that I had thought of myself.
That conversation scene with Binghe, Qingge and Shen Qingqiu was like one of my favorites. There's so many things happening in that scene. So many things happening. Shen Qingqiu mistaking his feelings of still wanting to be with Luo Binghe, but holding, like, he's mistaking Liu Qingge's intentions and motivations as, like, he does actually like Luo Binghe, but he's holding back on account of his friendship with Shen Qingqiu. And that was just top quality, unreliable narrator, because, wow. Wow. I remember thinking, like, when I was deciding on Shen Qingqiu's voice, like, he is a dumb bitch, but he presents himself as canonically, and also in this one, you know, you have to pretend that he knows what he, like, he's full of authority and elegant and, like, immortal and all that sort of thing. So he can't present himself as having doubts or any of that sort of thing. So that's where kind of his voice develops. And I was always conscious in every single scene where he was getting stuff wrong, that what he was actually saying was like the other person could mistake that as like him following their train of thought in the conversation, when really he's having his own private mental breakdown and he's not listening to what they're saying. But it's still like the conversation is still continuing with that person thinking, oh, he gets what I mean. But Shen Qingqiu's like, what the ever millennial fuck? What's happening right now? which was really lovely to be able to perform and read out. And there were so many more instances of that that I got to experience when doing the podfic, because I wasn't just like skimming through it and like really enjoying the parts that I was enjoying. Like, it was just, it was everywhere. He was doing that everywhere. And I really, really liked that a lot. One of the best changes that Faye Knight made to canon was that Bingha did accept Madame Mei Ying's tutelage from whatever sex academy, and therefore he is actually a good lover, unlike their canonical first experience together in a coffin. Pour one out for Madame Mei Ying. She's doing God's work. She's doing fandom's work. We don't want to read lubeless sex. We don't want that. Nobody wants that. No one's tearing. No one's bleeding. Please, God, stop that. It's not going to hurt the first time, okay? Please. Okay. And then I guess lastly, the last thing I'm going to say is right now we're currently doing a podcast with a bunch of other podfickers talking about sex. And I was thinking about like, oh, okay, you know, normally I talk about how the sex scene is how I do it generally and what my feelings are. And I can't remember if it was on record. So I'll say it like when I realized that because I knew that the story was rated E, but I couldn't remember how many sex scenes there were. And I get all the way to like the end of like chapter 4, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, at the end of chapter 4, no sex. Chapter 5, no sex. I wonder where the sex scene is. Meanwhile, Mel Lavender Frost is cackling in the background because apparently she knows exactly where the sex scene is and just cannot wait for me to stumble across it. And I'm like, okay, I have 2 sessions in the Podfic Discord where I'm reading the final part of chapter 5 and there's no sex scene. And I'm like, all right, I don't know where it is, for real. And then we get to Lo Bingha and Shen Qingqiu getting married finally. Like, they've finally cleared things up. He finally accepts that Lo Bingha loves him and only him, and Liu Qingqiu is not going to steal him away, or at least not now. And they get married. And it's their wedding day. I'm excitedly like DMing Lavender Frost. Hey, I got to like their wedding. It's 4% from the end of the story. And then I keep going and I'm like, oh, the rest of this is sex. Oh, I see. So I think that's karma, that Lavender Frost was asleep while that was happening. Too bad, so sad. And in this vein of calling Lavender Frost out, so she went on and did a cover free talk with me at the end of chapter 3. And at the end of chapter 3, afterwards, she's gone, wait, but I want to fix it. I want to add mountains into the back of the podfic cover. And I say, yeah, we can do that. And she's like, but not if you're, and I'm like, yeah, if you want to add mountains to it, we can add mountains to it. And so now please go and check your files again, because we have replaced it. Now there are mountains in the background of the podfic cover. So essentially, so I realized, okay, I got 4% of the text left. This can't be that many minutes. And then I get on the Discord and I'm like, oh yeah, that's probably like 20 to 30 minutes or something. And then I calculate the amount of length that I have. It's 40 minutes. I'm like, oh, I spent 10 minutes for each percent of this last 4%, which is quite a lot. That signals to me that I took a lot of liberties during the sex scene. Drew a lot of things out. Threw in a lot of extra moaning, threw in a lot of whatever, played around with the sex scene a lot. There was a lot of drawn out sequences, so you could really just marinate in Shen Qingqiu's shame. So we're having this chat between like some other podfickers, and I know that it can be really difficult to comment about a sex scene because you may have more shame than I do and don't want to publicly announce, hey, I listened to the sex scene and it was quite good and here's a gif of like a jizzing cock, you know, like maybe you have more shame than that. So what I will say is that, you know, you don't have to mention it. It's totally fine. Just in the comment, if you want to like leave an eggplant emoji and only an eggplant emoji, I'll know what it means. I'll get it. That's enough for me. You know, your kind words are enough for me. Your eggplant emojis are enough for me. At the end of the fic in the author's notes, Faye Knight does say, like, well, I want to say this is the end, but actually I'm writing extras. So at this point, Faye Knight's probably doubled the word count of the original story with the amount of extras that they are in the process of writing. So the question of whether or not I am going to record the extras is, I might pick and choose. Yeah, I might pick and choose some extras to do, like, that particularly, like, appeal to me. And just, like, now that the main story is done, like, in podfic form, I don't see a reason why, like, other podficers couldn't come in and claim, like, some of the extra stories for themselves, you know, and just, like, let's get this round robin happening. Let's get, like, you know, let's get these things out in an audio form if that's what people want. But at least I could do, like, you know, like, he dimension hops into the current universe and then gets driven back by Bing Mei. Like, so at least that could happen. Reincarnation of Shenjiu could happen. At least just like the one where, because I love the scene where he gets really emotional about Bun Bun dying. I was thinking about, like, what kind of voice am I going to give Ajio? Because he's a saucy wench. Like, I need to give him some kind of, I don't know what kind of voice is going to come out. Like, generally the voice comes pretty naturally after I, like, once sort of the dialogue sort of creeping in. So yeah, that's definitely a possibility. The Ajio reincarnation chapter one extra. At this point in the chat, I also get a request to consider podficking the dragon AU that Faye Knight has written. And I am more than happy to do a lot more of Faye Knight's work if they're amenable to letting me giving me permission to do so. But in regards to the Dragon AU, although I find it absolutely crushing, emotionally devastating, and I love it, it's not currently finished. It doesn't have a satisfactory endpoint. As far as I can recall, maybe I'm wrong about that. You can tell me if it has a satisfactory endpoint. So I don't feel comfortable starting to record something if it doesn't have a satisfactory conclusion. And more to that, I don't want to promise you guys, like, more Faye Knight if it might not be forthcoming. So please take that with a grain of salt. I would love to do more, but it just depends. So one last thing before this free talk is over. I was pleasantly surprised by how many listeners commented back and said that they were a fan of the Shang Qinghua voice that I gave him during this podfic. I thought I would give you an insight into why he sounds the way that he sounds. Partially, this has to do with Faye Knight's writing. Of course, she does write him with hesitations. Partly, this is because he's often represented as a hamster, which I kind of feel is like a prey animal. And also for the humor factor, I thought it was just really funny to have somebody who kind of talks a little bit, you know, against someone like Shen Xinqiu, who is like, tell me now what's happening, you know, straight man comedy, I guess. It's also a representation of how much confidence Shang Qinghua does not have in himself. So that's a part of why his voice is kind of hesitant and, you know, a bit pleasing, obsequious, you might say, really wishes to ingratiate himself to you. There's also this image in my head when he's talking with Shen Xinqiu. He's basically going through a whole, like, 2-3-4 minute monologuing at Shen Xinqiu, and I imagine, like, him desperately trying to explain something and just getting more and more anxious as time goes on, because Shen Xinqiu is not giving him anything back. So when you're in a situation where, like, you're talking but the other person isn't talking, you tend to overcompensate by, like, blurting out way more information than the other person needs. So that was my conceptualization of what was happening in those scenes. Shang Qinghua is being intimidated by Shen Xinqiu's silence and therefore is really anxious during these times, which is sort of, yeah, reflected in, like, well, why is this monologue going for such a long time? Yeah, I mean, it is going to be an an exposition dump, but there needs to be a reason why there isn't like a more back and forth that you would normally expect from a conversation. So all of these factors together made me decide, okay, this is what Shang Qinghua is going to sound like. And it was a really pleasant surprise to find that a lot of listeners really enjoyed him. And if they didn't think that he was funny beforehand, suddenly he was like, oh, he's my favorite. I like hearing him in the podfic. So thanks so much for that wonderful feedback. If you're listening to this during COVID-19 isolation time, I hope you're safe and well and your family and friends are safe and well. Please leave comments, kudos, drop that eggplant emoji. Thanks so much for listening and be safe. Bye.